Hello. 40 years ago in 1977, CKMS Radio and the Voyager spacecrafts were launched. In a few years, the spacecrafts will power down as their nuclear power source dwindles. We trust CKMS will be broadcasting for many more years than that. The Voyager Golden Records are phonograph records that were included aboard both Voyager spacecraft. The records are thought to be able to remain intact for a billion years. The records contain sounds and images selected to portray the diversity of life and culture on Earth, and are intended for any intelligent extraterrestrial life form or for future humans who may find them. Those records are considered as a sort of a time capsule. Carl Sagan noted that the spacecraft will be encountered and the record played only if there are advanced spacefaring civilizations in interstellar space, but the launching of this bottle in the cosmic ocean says something very hopeful about life on this planet. Sagan and his associates assembled 115 images and a variety of natural sounds, such as those made by surf, wind, thunder, and animals, including the songs of birds and whales. To this they added 30 musical selections from different cultures and eras, spoken greetings in 15 ancient and modern languages, and other human sounds like footsteps and laughter. Here's an excerpt of President Carter's official statement placed on the Voyager spacecraft for a trip outside the solar system, June 16, 1977. "We cast this message into the cosmos. Of the 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, some, perhaps many, may have inhabited planets and spacefaring civilizations. If one such civilization intercepts into Voyager and can understand these recorded contents, here is our message. This is a present from a small distant world, a token of our sounds, our science, our images, our music, our thoughts, and our feelings. We are attempting to survive our time so we may live into yours. We hope someday, having solved the problems we face, to join a community of galactic civilizations. This record represents our hope and our determination and our goodwill in a vast and awesome universe." What would you put on a golden record? Sending out an SOS, and thanks so much tonight for phoning, for loading us up tonight and listening in. It's a golden record here at CKMS Radio 102.7. Our special guest tonight, hope you're looking at us on Facebook Live, is Chase Phillips, and also tonight our regulars DJ Lucifer and DJ Blitz. DJ Blitz, you got to wave your hand so we can see you out there. So good to have everyone on board, and we're going to start off as usual. We've got music, we're going to have some comments. Everybody's got a little bit of a talking point to start with, and I'm going to invite DJ Blitz, if you would, tell us what you've been doing this week. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I've been pretty idle this week. Had a couple jobs postponed, so I've been at the house watching the birds.
So, more work than normal.
Well, you know, doesn't pay the bills, but it is pretty relaxing. Had a chance to wash all my drop cloths. And, you know it's getting bad when it comes down to that. And although I've promised spring for the last month.
I know. What's with that? I couldn't get under my rock. It was all ice.
I know. I had a recycling bin everybody picks up with a bunch of beer cans in it. And it was one solid lump of ice. I had to bring it into the shower.
Normally they call me Top Cat, but I couldn't hang out there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, it's another show here at CKMS. We're next week. It's going to be spring, I promise. I was just talking to Chase about birds and calling. He calls crows, and the Blue Jays call me. And I was talking about chickadees that buzz me when they don't have food and everything. You get those little things accustomed to it, and I'm sure glad I did feed them through the last ice storm. But yeah, it's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. I expect it. A couple of years ago, I painted a house exactly this time, and we were in our shirt sleeves. But there we go. And I don't think it'd be Canadian not to complain about the weather.
Well, 2 months ago, I could have been painting my house.
Well, if you're willing to cough up the bucks, I'll come over and do it.
Let us find out what
the mercenary.
Well, I learned that I can't paint. I tried doing that this winter, and what a disaster.
Yeah, we like
tape
people like you.
Tape is a no-no. Yeah.
Tape is a no-no.
Yeah.
And here we are. We're merging the show into Helpful Houseful.
It's a DIY show.
Learn how to use a brush. If you do it properly, you don't need that tape because the stuff just bleeds underneath it and it peels back the paint and it's just...
None of this gold foil for our houses or anything that you use on satellites. It's
there's a golden standard. You have to be able to draw a precise line with a paintbrush. And as you can see here from our gorgeously decorated CKMS studio, someone kind of hit the mark there.
That's better than I would do, I'll tell you that. I somehow managed to get gray paint all over the ceiling. So it's just, I'm a special case.
No,
that's why
I pay people
to do it now.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's what makes the
just
world go round. I believe in specializations. One person to do one thing, one person to do the other, and that's what kind of keeps the wheels of commerce going.
I wish I could do that at my job. I seem to be a jack of all trades every day.
That's because you didn't consciously suck at one of them. What you do is you don't want to do something, you fail. I got to put them in another category, you know. So there you go.
I'll try that and see how that
well,
goes.
I need
practice biting next because I suck at it.
Well, I'm not much of a fisherman, but I just remember when I was down south, a bunch of the fellas caught the fish and said, well, we caught the fish, so you fillet them. That's the last time they ever tried that.
Stupid like a fox.
Beyond that, I just got to eat them.
What is this shredded stuff?
So we're very privileged to have a new guest in our company, Chase. I don't know if he's got any subjects he wants to talk about, but he seems reasonably well prepared.
What did you work on this week? You had some topics you wanted to bring up. Want to bring up one of your topics and start us off today, please?
It may come up. I did come up with the topic of something that'll be very important in our subsequent exploration of space is food.
Okay.
How do you like it costs? And I'm spouting out another statistic, yes. It costs $10,000 per kilo to get food up to the ISS, which is a lot of money for a pound of bacon or whatever. And, and so what they're doing up there is they're actually growing vegetables. They're growing some lettuce, which is, I guess, the big candidate for that. And they've also done a bunch of work on... So I was just thinking about...
What about potatoes, as in the movie?
Space farming. Potatoes are in there, too. Yeah, leeks. And the thing is, in order to have a sustainable space exploration mission, be it on another planet or in outer space, you have to grow your own food. And there's been some work done on this. Not as much as I thought there would be, but they're definitely thinking about it because, I mean... Number one, it's psychologically good to have growing plants around astronauts. They're so separated from the Earth. And number two, it's yummy and nutritious.
There you go.
Where's your trade-off, though, because you'll have to have a certain amount of space to be able to produce that food, enough for it to be sustainable. So your cost of $10,000 to get it up there, then you have to figure cost to have more room and things like that, especially if you're going on a longer voyage.
Indeed. But you've got low Earth orbit, and let's say you have a colony on Mars. Now, it would cost a lot less to get something, you know, some foods to low Earth orbit than it would be to colony Mars. So somewhere in the middle there, it becomes more efficient to grow them in space.
Yeah.
And obviously what they're doing is some high-level hydroponics. I mean, they're not going to bring soil up there and, you know, run a tractor over it. So, and as with a lot of things, there's going to be some offset in the... And the technology that they use up there is going to reflect upon the technology that we can use down there. So they have, you know, they are working on growing crops in space. They behave differently. They don't grow as well as they do on Earth. And
yeah, you have to match light spectrums and things like that to get them to grow similar. I know when I was doing my grad work, we were growing soybeans inside of little growth cabinets and trying to make a very controlled environment. And we had to have at least one red light bulb and one blue light bulb that would emit a certain wavelength to get it to behave sort of like natural. And in one cabinet, I think it was the red bulb went out, and the beans in that cabinet just started to turn to vines, and they were winding up around the fluorescent tubes, and
they were seeking that light. They were seeking
that
light.
Were missing one of the wavelengths, so they started behaving like absolutely differently. So you have to make sure that when you're doing that in space, you also have to get those conditions right, and then there's the heat and everything. It's the whole environment. Yeah, it's an interesting.
So the plants were trying to grab the light.
They were just they were changing their behavior to try and survive. So yeah, they're going for it. I've never seen soybeans like that ever. It was pretty awesome, actually. They were wound around. Well, it was awesome until I had to gently unwind them from the light and then throw it all in the garbage and start over again because there was a mistake in the experiment. But until that point, it was very awesome.
But you couldn't rescue the plants at that point?
Well, I'm sure they could have gave them away to somebody, but I had a lot of seed and not a lot of time, so I just replanted and away we went. So
well, it was experiment, not... I'm sure they couldn't feed a lot of people.
Oh, yes. Oh no, you would get maybe a handful. So, you know, if you're...
Don't forget, we're talking to Peter here. He's making a cookbook on recipes for aliens.
I heard something about that. So you guys believe in aliens then? That's
I do.
You believe there's life out there?
I do. The probability is, you know, approaching 100%, so I think 100%.
Are you guys thinking it's intelligent life, or is it kind of microscopic, or, you know, kind of the millions of years ago on Earth?
The full spectrum. Because we had this discussion with infinity, space is infinite. Making that assumption, then everything is possible in infinity.
Yeah,
that's it's too big for us to comprehend.
My logical brain tells me that, but then my superstitious brain tells me that I don't want aliens to exist because they're a little bit terrifying. Like all our cultural stuff with aliens is they colonize us and wipe us out type of things.
Well, we'd like to hear more from you, but later on we'll talk about NASA send a planet hunter on Monday night, and it's... Let me see. It has 4,000 alien worlds outside our solar system it's looking at. So we'll look at that.
Well, there's an uncounted number of planets in this universe.
Oh, absolutely. But this is what they've identified.
House life. And it just, to me, it doesn't make sense that we are the special one. And I think that intelligent alien life is a long ways away from here. Because I think it is more rare than microbial or bacterial or something along those lines, even if it's got a different, chemical structure than ours. I think complicated life is far more rare than your simple life, but I do believe it exists.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on that one. You hit it on the nose with the infinite nature of space. Everything has to exist out there. And the 4,000 are probably just the ones that we can, I wouldn't say see, but the ones that we're aware of.
That's right.
And there's, countless. Our brains can't actually, I can't comprehend. I have a hard time comprehending when they say we're $1 trillion in debt. I don't know what that means.
It's a thousand times a billion, and a billion's hard to conceive of, and so is a million. You know,
if I ever had someone put $1 billion of cash in front of me, it would help. I would have an easier
fill the room.
Time. Oh, I definitely would fill the room.
I'll just take a check.
Well, some of that money might disappear, but that's.
All I know is my lifestyle would improve.
What's the first thing you would do?
I would hire a new co-host.
I mean, you guys are getting paid?
We would be then.
We're not even getting peanuts.
The Blue Jays even get the peanuts.
We get tasked.
Why don't you hire an elephant? I heard they work for peanuts.
Oh, that's good.
So
we're not starting with elephant jokes. No.
So Chase, why don't we? You got some great music with you tonight. You want to tell us a little bit about what the artists you got there and what you've got for us? What artists do you have on your playlist tonight for us?
Okay, well, first up for you, I'll go song by song. But the first one I've got is X Ambassadors. So they had their big hit, which I don't remember the name of because I don't pay attention to popular music most of the time, but. I like to look at a successful album and go and look at the deeper tracks a lot of times. So I found this one, and it happened. I had heard it before, and I'll talk a little bit about where I heard it before or after. But yeah, this one, it's called Jungle. It reminds me of, you know, walking in cornfields in July when I think about jungle. But this particular song is the one that is my alarm on my phone. So whenever I'm staying away from home, this is what I wake up to. Or when I nap at home. So this is the one that comes on.
All right. There we go. I got it. Okay, here we go. Well, we're back, and thanks so much for listening tonight, folks. It's Golden Record, and our special guest tonight is Chase Phillips, and we hope you enjoy. We've got lots of energy tonight, lots to talk about. We've had a good start here. Great song, Chase. Tell us about that song again.
Yeah, so I heard that it was on the commercial for a movie, and I don't know. I'm more of a song guy than an album guy. If it has a good beat, it catches my attention. And then I watched the commercial, and I really want to see the movie. It's called Project Almanac, and it was on Netflix for a while. I don't know where you'd find it now, but it's all about time travel. So this guy, his dad invents a time machine and then disappears, and then the kid kind of discovers it and figures it out, and they go from there and they go on adventures. And then, you know, it's the classic time travel where don't touch anything, don't change anything. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
So I love that kind of stuff. I just watched a show over the Easter weekend, like binged away on Netflix. It was called Timeless, where there's two time machines and kind of a guy with ill intentions goes back and starts changing. He wants to wipe out America or wipe something out. And these other do-gooders go back and they're trying to erase all the changes that he's made. The first episode, they save the Hindenburg from going down, so it actually makes it. And then all the implications from that, people's parents didn't meet and certain people don't exist, and trying to figure that stuff out. So I love that kind of, I don't know, that mental exercise of...
That's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, thinking about the ripple.
Are you taking a lot of concerts and going out to see some of this interesting music and stuff like that?
Absolutely not. I have no time for that.
Oh, my gosh.
I work too much. When I was younger, I saw a few bands that were kind of big in my time. Mm-hmm. Sum 41 and... what was the other one? Green Day. We saw Green Day in concert.
Mm-hmm. They give a good show.
They do a good show. It's pretty high energy. I've also, the band I've seen the most in concert, though, is Blue Rodeo.
Mm.
Twice. So.
Oh, you had a lot of people. You didn't get a chance to see them before he's gone.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to lead us off with our second half of the show, and then we'll all jump in?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Jeff. As we were discussing previously, NASA has launched its last, as of last Monday, NASA launched its newest Planet Hunter. And they're expecting it. It's called the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. So the acronym for that is TESS, T-E-S-S, Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. And currently we have knowledge about 4,000 alien worlds, and TESS will have increased that number by a factor of 5. Among the discoveries, they hope will be a large new rocky world with an atmosphere that can be probed for signs of life. I do have some facts that are interesting about the satellite. Unlike Kepler, which peered deep into the narrow stretch of sky to find faraway planets around stars like the Sun, TESS's survey will be a wide and shallow, Pickler exclaimed. It is designed to look stars at all ages and sizes within a few hundred light years of Earth, and it will be able to canvas the entire sky in just 2 years. Armed with 4 sensitive cameras, the refrigerator-sized satellite will seek out the tiny telltale dips in a star's light that occur when a planet transits or passes in front of it. The frequency of each faint flicker will indicate the planet's size and its distance from the star. Next, astronomers on Earth will measure the way the planet's gravity makes a star wobble in its orbit. An observation will provide the planet's mass. Combine those data with scientists characterize the planet. It is small, rocky, like wood, like Earth. Is it light and water rich? Does it have a solid surface, or does it resemble Neptune, with dunes coarse surrounded by swirling clouds of gas? The TESS mission coincides with the debutant. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Carry on, Mike.
They do the big guy, carry on.
Okay, now that I got to find my place again.
All right, maybe you could sum it up there a bit, and then
maybe we could just keep them laughing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Okay. Just in a quick summary, it's going to have an elliptical orbit between Earth and the Moon, and it's going to be a 2-year mission to survey the entire sky that we can, and they're expecting it to increase the information available from 4,000 to 20,000 possible Earth-like planets.
So is it moving out 100 light years from Earth in that orbit, or is it
no,
just sensing
it's just looking
that?
At it.
Okay.
It's just looking at within a few hundred light years.
But it's specific to that kind of exploration as opposed to the Kepler telescope, which was just a telescope, in a sense, that was looking for faraway galaxies. This one is designed to look for the aberrations in the orbit of stars, indicating planets going in front of them.
It's right. Pretty freaking amazing to determine the wobble of a star.
It was only a few years ago when the first exoplanet was discovered. So, yes, there's exoplanets out there, but we need to, and sophisticated technology is going to take over, and you need to identify the ones that you want to look out and take long-term samples of the light emanating from those planets and perhaps get signs of life.
Yeah,
which I welcome.
Yeah. For your cookbook.
Yeah, well, you have to fill your cookbook.
Yeah. So you had me when you said it was the size of a refrigerator, because I started picturing that size going around in space. That's amazing to me.
Oh, absolutely.
That they can get down to that smaller scale.
Packed with stuff. And to be able to measure a wobble in the sun or the flicker of the light as it passes in front of it.
From a star that's 100 million light years away.
Absolutely.
And yeah, the technology and the sophistication and the precision of the instruments are getting exponentially better.
Yeah, my fridge isn't doing that. No way.
Friggin' TV doesn't even come close.
No, it is amazing what they do with miniaturization. Like for example, a cell phone is far more powerful than the computers they used to launch the first orbit, first transits to the moon or the first visits to the moon.
Oh, a calculator was more powerful than that.
And a lot of the satellites out there are very powerful and doing their job, and they're no larger than a cell phone.
Yeah. I learned that a couple of months ago, that whole satellitosphere or whatever they're calling it now, that is just a bunch of things about the size of this phone or cell phones just zipping around, taking pictures and sending signals back to your... I picture the classic, GoldenEye style satellite, big honking thing. Yeah, not my cell phone flying around in space. Yeah.
And we discussed this last week. There's no traffic cops up there.
That's true.
There's dangers of collisions between one and the other. Like a cell phone traveling at 17,500 kilometers an hour, which is average low Earth orbit, if it impacted the space station...
That's a hole in the space station.
That's a hole in the space station and a lot of destruction. So they are monitoring
stuff.
So when they put those up there, they just let them go and let them fly? Or is there any kind of, they track trajectory and say, okay, you're at
tracking
planes,
all that stuff.
Right? You're on this trajectory and you stay on that orbit. And if
they
you
are
shift,
tracking it. And the Federal Communications Committee with the United States is actually trying to legislate, and so far the Russians have submitted the flight paths of each one. There's room for millions of satellites out there, but that is if their orbits are coordinated. But however, India just launched a couple of a Silicon Valley startup, I forget its name, just couldn't get authorization to launch a couple of satellites, so they got the Indian Space Company to launch them, and the Federal Communications Committee is pissed off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh. Because, I mean...
Wait to see what Trump has to say about that.
So, off the top of your head,
best
guess, how many are up there right now in that low Earth
orbit? Thousands.
Like 10,000, 15,000?
About 5,000.
Well, 5,000?
About 5,000. However, there's hundreds of thousands, at least. Yeah, there's hundreds of thousands that are that are anywhere between the size of a fleck of paint.
Oh, come on.
Oh, another brother.
And, like a Tesla car.
I don't think that one's sending any information, though. It is a large area.
And in fact, they are tracking most of these objects. And the International Space Station and a lot of other large satellites are actually have small rockets on them to change the trajectory slightly. So, and it's happened a bunch of times. They have noticed that there's a potential of an impact with the International Space Station, and they say, you know, if it's going to come within a kilometer, then they change their orbit.
I would like to see them put something on the space station. I'm not going to say guns, but some kind of defense mechanism on there, so that if there's an imminent collision, they can just blast that out of the sky. I think that would be awesome for the entertainment of the. Okay. The astronauts, anyways.
Okay, I've got it here for you.
Okay.
More than 500,000 pieces of debris or space junk are tracked as they orbit the Earth. They all travel at speeds up to 17,500 miles per hour, fast enough for a relatively small piece of orbital debris to damage a satellite or a spacecraft.
So that stuff's just not falling down. It's moving fast enough that it's...
No, it's in orbit.
Yeah,
it's in orbit. Yeah, absolutely.
They did the other week. They SpaceX launched a experimental United Kingdom spacecraft that is designed to actually trap.
That would be a hell of a business venture to go and try and collect that.
Yeah.
Well, space garbage collector.
Well, basically, what they have to do is whenever a satellite has reached the end of its useful life. They have to have a built-in self-destruct mechanism, which in most cases is just a small rocket to get it off orbit, send it down to Earth where it burns up in the atmosphere.
They used to blow them up, and then that ended up being all the debris.
Yeah. Hence the 500,000 pieces of debris.
Partially, yeah.
And they were big enough back then that you could get a good pile of debris.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
In fact, one of the first Americans to orbit Earth thought he saw like clouds of small white particles accompanying him, and he didn't know what they were. They were paint flakes from the shuttle. So,
wow!
I don't know whether it's a good idea to paint those things.
Yeah.
Another great song for us here at Chase Light to play.
Yeah.
We'll take a little break here and regroup and play a song. And what do you got for us next?
So this one is Alicia Cara, Canadian.
Yeah. Okay.
Off her album Know It All. This is an album that it's one of the few that I actually enjoy all the songs that I can just go end to end on repeat and sit and let it play all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But this is her song Here, which was one of the earlier hits, earlier singles off of this one. So I will hit play and I'll let you do your thing.
There you go. It's coming through. We'll be back, folks. Now you've got the last laugh.
I'm sorry if I seem uninterested, or I'm not listening, or I'm indifferent. Truly, I ain't got no business here. But since my friends are here, I just came to kick it. But really, I would rather be at home all by myself, not in this room with people who don't even care about my well-being. I don't dance, don't ask, I don't need a boyfriend. So you can't. Gossiping. the TV with my beanie low. Yo, I'll be over here. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, I ask myself, what am I doing here? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I can't wait till we can break up out of here.
All right, and thanks so much, dear listeners, for tuning in tonight to Golden Radio. We've got our regular co-host tonight, DJ Blitz and DJ Lucifer, and special guest tonight, Chase Phillips. And we're just having a great old time, lots of energy, great music, Chase. What a great song that is. Do you have a music library of all these in it? How do you get your music like this?
Well, most of my music is now purchased legally through iTunes. However, in my younger days, when I was more rebellious, I built a strong library through other means. And that one was purchased. Everything today was purchased legally.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I'm more... So you get to hear the beat in that song.
Yeah, that's a great song. Yeah,
That's what draws me in is the beat. I don't... Yeah. I'm supposed to be listening to the lyrics. That's something that one of my friends has tasked me with this year is pay attention to the lyrics and try to, I don't know, have some attraction to songs for that reason. But, yeah, most of the time for me it's... It's the beat. Can I bob my head? Can I tap my foot? And that's a good song for me.
I feel like it has a pulse to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's what the extraterrestrials like, too.
Yeah.
So with that...
How would you know that, Peter?
So with that... I'll ask you... we usually have everyone introduce a topic, then we go into kind of like a free-form discussion. And Chase, I invite you to bring up a topic you thought might fit in with tonight's show, and then we'll have our co-host, fellas, DJs here maybe pitch in a bit. But tell us what came to mind. What you got on your table there for our show tonight? Thanks.
I'll bring you down the road with me on this thought process. So,
great.
You introduced the topic of the show to me this afternoon, so I did have some time to prepare. I wasn't caught off guard. So I was thinking about it on the way home. I was thinking about, okay, the show is, there's a lot of space content, the Golden Record, Voyager, etc. And then I was, you know, I'm always patriotic. I try to be Canadian. So what was our contribution? We have the Canadarm. And with my friend Cheese, we came up with a whole bit about Canadarm. And anyway, it gets dirty after that. But so I was thinking about that, and I was... seeing one of my other friends was talking about artificial intelligence and machine learning and something he's doing at his job, and he had some frustration today, so we often vent to each other. And he was talking about artificial intelligence, and I guess those two ideas kind of melded in my brain. So, you know, everyone, well, I don't know about everyone, but there's people that worry about the singularity and about machines taking over the world. You have Skynet, Terminator, all that kind of stuff.
We tried that at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started thinking about the idea of, well, you know, what's a fail-safe to stop them? Because they can get into our communications. You know, we've all seen the movies where they take over. And I started thinking, how do they maintain themselves, or how do they build each other? They have to have some kind of physical presence, robotics or something like that. You know, you picture that robotic arm in the auto factories and things like that. But I know they have humans, which are getting terrifyingly real. But my idea is, if we take away that physical form that they have, we take away their body, then can the machines still survive, maintain themselves, etc.? Or do they eventually break down? So I'd be interested to see what you guys think about that.
How do you control...
Take away their physical body. You're talking about like a robot, an autonomous robot.
Yeah, so if you take away the parts that can move... And I'm picturing, so, you know, I'm thinking Matrix a little bit too in here, just to give you guys an idea of where I'm coming from. And you have these machines. So, you know, we build the computers at first, and just imagine all the equipment over there as a machine. Over time, that starts to break down, parts wear out, etc. So how does it maintain itself if it can't physically change out parts, etc.? If it's just...
Well, it should be able to change out its own parts.
But if it has no, we'll call it, robotic hand to do that, then how does it rejuvenate itself?
Nanotechnology.
Okay. Well, we could kill that too.
Oh, so everything has to do with nanotechnology.
Any physical form. So any physical form then. So it's that's just right. The almost like a software, like the actual artificial intelligence, if it had no physical means, right, could it sustain itself? Hmm. Or would it eventually just, the computer would shut off, like my work computer so often gives me the blue screen of death?
Well, it depends on what you give it for hardware, but you would also give it the means to self-replicate, right?
Okay.
Yes, no?
Well,
you know, as a person who doesn't want to see the world get, well, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, the whole singularity, because you could become immortal if
that's
it works.
Why you have Asimov's three laws of robotics.
Well, yeah.
Whether they work or not, it doesn't matter.
We haven't tried them on a large scale.
Well, we're going to.
I think.
Yeah, I think that you can only limit so much in this world. You know, the future is coming, and there's going to be.
You can't stop it.
No, there's going to be autonomous artificial intelligence.
Cars are on the way.
They're out there already. No, you're right. I mean, there's like robots can. I mean, how are you going to build a lot of the things we build? A lot of them built on robot assembly lines. They've got a certain small amount of intelligence. A computer-based artificial intelligence is only good for so much. It can't manipulate reality. So
yet,
yeah. How do we get around that? You know, hope for the best.
But you know, when we had that crash there with the car, with the Uber car, with the from my perspective, there was not a big lot of fallout of it. People said, okay, it's just a problem on the road to perfection, right?
Yeah. So they'll break the engineers to make that omelet.
That's right. The engineers will fix it.
People kill people with cars all the time. Yeah.
That's right. How many people would have been killed already if we didn't have even those few autonomous cars that we have?
Well, they do have features built into cars these days, automatic braking.
They have crazy amounts of features built in. I have a friend who just got a new vehicle. It has the blind spot detection. It has automatic braking. It'll adjust his headlights. So he no longer has to turn the brights on and off. It senses another car coming and automatically dims his headlights for him. Yeah, so it's quickly getting to the point. So he still has to steer, and he can use his cruise control to control the speed up and down. But it's getting to that point where it's going to be the last piece is the steering. And once they figure out how to get rid of that, and I know from what I do for work that auto steer is a beautiful thing, except you get bored sometimes just sitting and you want to touch that steering wheel, but you can't. And it's going to get to that point where that's the last piece of driving a car is the steering, and then that they're going to take that away from me too. So it's coming, and it's coming fast. Yeah.
So Fahrvergnügen is going to be a thing of the past.
Fahrvergnügen.
Yeah, the joy of driving.
Oh yeah, I do enjoy driving for sure. Just going down the road. Sometimes I'm sad to see my destination.
Taking all the old people off the sidewalks, 50 points apiece, right?
But most of the stuff now, in terms of artificial intelligence, I know for us in our company, they're using a lot of machine learning and things like that in plant breeding. My friend is working with in a finance company, and they're using it there. So the applications are widespread, and I think it's going to go fast. And then you watch different things on the internet, which is a terrible place. And there's in Japan, they have these very realistic, like they kind of have that uncanny valley look to them, but they move, the way they move is so real. It freaks me out a little bit. It gives me the heebie-jeebies to see it. It's because it's so close to human, but it's distinctly not. So
Well, it'll get there. What is that? The Turing test is where you, if you have a conversation with artificial intelligence, can you tell whether it's human or not? And it's creeping up. It's like I like what you said about the cars that have a lot of autonomous features, but not all of them. So that's a step in the direction of actual self-driving cars. And maybe they're jumping the gun too much and trying to give us the self-driving car right away, but they've got all these features. And like you said, it just might be yet one more little step to having that sort of technology.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces like that where they, yeah.
And it can either be a godsend to humanity, having a intelligent, I mean, we don't need slaves anymore.
Well, we kind of made digital slaves.
We have robots, we have machines, and as a result of these machines, cars, industrial equipment, steam power, our lives are actually better than they were as far as the stress on us, because we have a lot of things doing stuff for us. Either that's going to carry on until we live in a kind of utopia where we can let our creativity and our minds flow with a lot of leisure, and everyone will have it, or we'll be controlled by these darn things.
Well, I think a third possibility there is something that I'm experiencing is, as we get more autonomous functionality and things doing stuff for us, then we take on more things anyways, and then all of a sudden you're still making sure that gets done, but you're, and I mean, the cell phone's a good example. So that is a convenience. It handles a lot of stuff. You don't have to look up maps, all kinds of stuff, but then you fill that time anyways that you're saving with all kinds of other junk and don't even realize.
Eventually, you just might have to come up with the ideas, tell the computer your idea, and it'll start working on it.
Well, I think we're getting pretty close to that, actually.
Yeah.
Let it figure out. Here's the problem. Go. Tell me when you're done.
That's a cultural thing, filling stuff up with junk. I mean, leisure time has produced the Renaissance. It's produced the great Greek philosophers, and it's produced YouTube.
Have you guys canceled your Facebook profiles in light of all the mess with Zuckerberg making testimony to the Senate in the States? And the
No, because then I couldn't use the radio station.
You know, that's just a learning curve for that kind of technology. I think Zuckerberg started the darn company in his dorm room 10 years ago, and now he's a multi-billion thing. I think
he was at the right place at the right time. It was bound to happen anyway. He was just the lucky one that got it. And,
I don't know about you guys. I saw this coming. I quit Facebook in 2014. It was starting to feel icky back then for me, so I got out.
I've never been on it.
No?
No.
Good.
Yeah, I get notifications from Facebook to friends, but I don't have my own profile, no. I'm kind of, I don't leap into technology all the time.
Oh, I did. In 2006, as soon as I learned about it, I was all over it.
I am on it because I want to take over the world. Okay. Yes, Pinky. What do you plan on doing tonight?
The same thing we do every night.
We've got to take over the world. Fool, you've ruined everything.
Well, we got time for a song and just 5 minutes to wrap up our show. We want to play a short song, and then we can just spend the last 5 minutes to wrap up before our next show comes in. Rebel Dan, so what do you got for us there, Chase?
So I got, this one is The Stealer by Free. Mm-hmm. My not Uncle Al told me I should be listening to this song.
Okay.
So I went and found it, and
here we go.
I've enjoyed it many times.
Okay. Good stuff. I hear it now.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back, and thanks for tuning in. We're out of here pretty quick, folks. Gonna do a couple of things here. First of all, DJ Blitz, what do you want to talk about next week?
Oh no, we haven't quite exhausted the little topic we broached about farming in space, about perhaps genetic modifications that must be done to crops to grow up there. Yeah. Perhaps genetic and a combination between artificial intelligence and human beings that it might take to survive up there.
DJ Lucifer, what are you bringing to us next week? What do you want to talk about?
Genetic modifications of human beings on Mars.
Yay.
Good one.
So we're agreed.
And to our special guest, Chase Phillips, thank you so much for coming in. It is a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
And hope it wasn't too scary for you, and hopefully we can see you come back in again sometime. You're more than welcome anytime you'd like.
All right, I still have a couple items on my list here that we can talk about some other time.
Okay, good stuff.
Sounds good.
Sounds very good. So with that, folks, just want to thank you all for listening. It's the Golden Record. It's April 18th here on CKMS Radio 102.7, your best community radio station in the KWA by far. And with that, we'll see you next week, and take care, have a safe week, and remember, the force be with you. We should end up with something. What should we say at the end of our show?
On May 4th, may the 4th be with you.
Okay, with may the 4th be with you, we'll see you next week. Bye for now. Sanity.